Hello there, everyone. James Hilliard back with another Sum Total podcast. We have all seen, I believe, in the news recently, the unemployment rate at its lowest in many, many years. The pool of candidates is very large out there. It provides some challenges these days when it comes to hiring. How do you ensure that you're hiring the right person? Some questions you might focus on. Do you focus on the candidate with the best personality to be part of your team? Is it maybe the candidate that proves that they can really do the job, right, technically? How about the person that comes in and proves above everything else that they can really learn and grow from where they are to where maybe you need them to be? There are many factors that do influence this decision, factors that may have nothing to do with whether or not a candidate attended and graduated with a four-year college degree. Could taking away that degree requirement open the door to more hiring opportunities for your organization? It's an alternative that a lot of teams are exploring, and we're going to talk about that idea today and a few other hiring-related topics. We'll do it with Jim Poisson and Rob Keim, both with Sum Total. And Rob, I'll turn to you. We'll start, and much of our conversation coming in the next few minutes is going to revolve around the idea of finding the best people. And again, potentially folks that can provide valuable service to our companies, but maybe lacking a four-year college degree. Many of these folks could fill what are called middle skill jobs. And to get the conversation started, hoping you can give us that definition, get us all on the same page. What are these middle skill jobs?
When you really look at it, an opportunity within an organization that really doesn't require a four-year degree, there's plenty of them out there. Some of them may require certification, you know, something a little bit more than a high school diploma. Thinking about things like certain healthcare roles, for example, like a medical assistant, they need a higher certification than a high school diploma, but they don't need a four-year degree. You can go get a certificate around that. LNA programs are in high schools today. So in addition to that high school diploma, kids can graduate with an LNA certification at the same time and go to work immediately in a doctor's office, nursing homes, whatever. So it's things like that. You know, you start thinking about, okay, well, what about traditional jobs in a typical business like we're in? And you can talk about product management jobs, and you can talk about project management jobs. You can talk about administrative jobs. So all those things where traditionally organizations have said, we have to have a four-year degree for that particular role. You really have to kind of take a step back and ask yourself why. When you can ask that question, that's when you start really going, okay, this is a middle skill job. We're requiring a little bit too much.
You know, my experience, I went off and got a four-year degree. It was in speech communications. It was actually a degree that I was able to drive myself through that wasn't really a defined path. There were a few options there, but I was able to really take my own as opposed to doing a radio career. And because that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to be a radio guy, but things were changing. And what I do notice now is though a lot of these skills, especially at high school, a lot of the skills that we used to do aren't offered. I'm thinking the electronics class. I'm thinking the auto shop. There are things like that that I don't see. I've got a sophomore, so I don't see that in my local community as much. So what's some guidance in terms of saying that it's worth exploring some of these different options as we talk to our kids, right? My sophomore age and others out there, as opposed to just the four-year degree, because that really seems to have been the ongoing mantra. We've seen in the news the issues with the celebrities and getting into some of these schools. It has turned into a very big narrative. You must go to four-year school, get that degree before you can get a worthwhile job.
Yeah, and I think the community colleges are getting a boost because the programs that they're running are exactly those things that used to be in high schools. We used to have a carpentry shop in my high school. We used to have an auto shop in my high school. Those things aren't there anymore. They're gone. You know, there's different programs in place, but not necessarily for those types of things. But I think, you know, when you look at like a network administrator, that's a perfect example of a middle skill job where certification is required for the job, but really four-year degree isn't. For a mechanic, obviously they need to get a mechanic certification. And you can get that at a technical college or, you know, a community college. So I think there's opportunities out there for people to roll into those different certification programs and come out a lot better for it and a little bit more money in their pocket at the end of the day.
If I could, I think it's also the community perception too. I mean, I think nowadays, to your point, James, people are harping on the four-year degree, and maybe we're losing focus of the importance of a middle skill job. There are plenty of kids who do really well with those non-traditional pathways. I mean, there's a whole number of kids, percentage of them, that don't go on to college, whether they choose to go on to a military career or a trade school. I think part of it is, you know, we're not investing in those programs anymore. And maybe it's because we don't necessarily see the number of kids in an individual school district to support the cost of running those programs. I know that there's a school system in New Hampshire where they have one central high school or one central place where all the high schools kind of feed into. So they send their kids there for the automotive program. They send them there for the culinary arts and those types of programs. But it's more of a cost spread across multiple communities versus one school district having to pay it all. And it's those kids do really well there, and they have their own training, their own certification that leads to their own careers. But it's really more of a education cost, regardless whether it's higher ed or local costs, where it's one thing that seems to get everybody at the town halls and at the ballot boxes, how much am I spending on my schools nowadays?
Anecdotally, I'll just add, I'm sure many of us are familiar with Mike Rowe, a television host, and he's been on a mission for a while, providing scholarships and raising the awareness of the lack of those going into the trades and some of the skills building. And look, he's all for four-year college degrees, if that makes sense for the individual, but also saying that there are a lot of opportunities out there. I don't have all the data in front of me, but I know that there is anecdotal evidence out there that sometimes if you're filling a middle skill job, as you define for us, Rob, with someone who has a college degree, they might not be satisfied with the work that they'll be doing. There can be some higher turnover there because of again, maybe a boredom over or an overskilled employee working in a job that could also be higher wages for that, you know, more education. But do we really need that in that role? So there's a lot kind of going on there. My question, I guess, Rob, to you now is if we're saying there are alternatives and those are worth exploring, then it seems like there are a couple of things we need to do within our organizations as well, changing the organizational mindset to say, no, we can bring on valuable, useful employees that don't have the four-year degree. So changing of our hiring practices and mentality then may need to be changing as well. Can you talk about that for a bit?
Sure. What people don't really realize is kids that come out of college with a degree are more focused about salary than they are about doing their job. They're not concerned about a career path. They're concerned about getting paid. And I think we're all there at one point in our lives, you know, those of us that went that path. And I think, you know, over time, we realized that what we really wanted was a career path. What we really wanted was a way to maintain and grow ourselves within an organization so we could continue to be useful and do amazing things for a company and provide that loyalty and everything else. I know they're saying loyalty is going by the wayside these days, but it's just change the expectations for the people that you're hiring are changing. I think when you take away the requirement of a four-year degree and open yourself up to any candidate that's in the market, you can vet a lot of people through just the skill requirements that you have for your jobs. And I think people are ignoring that. And they're so focused on that. You need that four-year degree. Otherwise we can't talk to you. And they're losing out on a lot of really good people because of it. So I think taking that four-year degree requirement away, the solutions to the hiring problems go away. It just changes the entire world. So when we hire people, when I've hired people in the past, I only care about, do they do the things that I need them to do? I don't care where they went to college. That doesn't matter. Are you the right person to fill the role? Do you have the right personality characteristics to work in the group as a team? And do you fit into the organization? Who cares where they went to college? That doesn't matter to me. And I think most people should care about whether or not the person can do the job and take the training that's required for the job, because every organization is training people. They do it all the time. People come to me and say, hey, can I take this training class? And the answer should automatically be a yes. Absolutely. Help them grow. And we're not doing enough of that today. And the expectations are that companies aren't going to do that for you. You better bring it all with you when you get there.
Just to kind of follow up on what Rob is, he made a point about the hiring process and focusing on skills. I think the other thing we could do during our hiring process, again, if we take away the four-year degree requirement, is we can talk about doing pre-hire tests or pre-hire assessments. So there's no difference in saying I could do this skill, I have this degree on a piece of paper or electronic resume, but you still have you have to validate that people are bringing those skills and have the competency in what you're looking for that role and job. So the option to bring in more of assessment up front during the candidacy progress, you know, and we see that a lot probably more done with, I would argue, with the development jobs and the programming jobs. You know, today they're always given a task. Can you do this? Show me how you would go about programming XYZ use case. As part of our hiring here, when Rob and I, when we're looking to expand our product management team, you know, we've given out use cases before, just so we can get a better understanding of people's, how they work through things mentally. And that kind of demonstrates again to us, do they know how to do the job? Are they approaching this from the product management perspective that we would want them to? And again, we don't necessarily care where they got that experience. We're more looking for that skill set, the intangibles, if you will. Can they get along with us? Which is a big skill set. But can they actually do the job and prove to us that they can do the job? And that's where assessments, pre-hire tests come into play. And I think they've shown very helpful in our hiring process.
And what you're talking to there is as well, right? Can they be a part of the team, right? They might have the greatest skills and went to a great college and all that, but their personality just isn't jiving, or they think they know it all, and so they're not willing to learn. And so that can be detrimental to a team. We also want to be able to, what I look for and have looked for in the past is someone might not have a particular skill right now, but are they willing to learn it? Can they learn? And if they've got a desire to learn and grow, that's someone that's more appealing to me as someone that's in a hiring position from time to time, as opposed to someone that says, oh yeah, I know this program, great, but those are going to change in the next probably 6 months. Like back to my radio days, I was cutting with a razor blade and tape on reel to reel, getting into the radio business. And then guess what? About a year and a half later, I had to learn how to do digital editing because now that came onto the scene. And so we have all these quick changes. So let's go ahead and say that we are at an organization. And we agree. We say, you know what, we want to hire the right people, that a four-year degree doesn't have to necessarily be that prerequisite. We're looking for other things. Let's talk about now that an individual like that has come on board, do we manage those middle skill employees any differently than we manage college-educated employees?
I would argue that you don't have to. I think if you're managing them the same, it's really all about defining, regardless of where they come, what their background is, educational background, you need to engage them. You have to give them a value proposition that's going to be meaningful to them. Why does my company care about me? And, you know, not everybody sees that, but that's part of that is career pathing. So give me the progress. If I'm coming in as a support level one, what is my path to level two, three manager? What's my path outside of the support group? And what are the training opportunities to get me maybe into, maybe I want to get into a QA position. Maybe I want to get into a sales position. What are the options within my organization? Show me how I can improve my skill sets. And again, that doesn't matter where I've come from. If I have that 4-year degree, if I come with a business admin background, I can speak of that because that's mine. You know, maybe it's building up some of those soft skills and being able to give me the leadership training to take on my first management role. And I'm thinking back in the day. But again, it's really about, from an organizational perspective, you have these employees with you. Now it's more about what skills do they bring to the table? What skills do I need to enhance? What are they already good at? What are they lacking? And where does my organization need new players? Where do I need to fill roles within my team? Because we keep always talking about, disregarding the 4-year degree for external candidates. But your internal, your current employees, you want to remove the barrier from them too. We know some people always have a 4-year degree because of the future success that you're going to have with my company. And they're overlooking people for today. So if we do start hiring people today without 4-year degrees, are we going to make sure that they still have a career path without that 4-year degree? You know, our leaders are probably sitting in our organization today, our future leaders. Are we training them for our organization for the jobs we have today, and for more concern, for the jobs we don't even know we need yet, but we have to develop those skill sets. So going back to the original question, James, there was a long way around to it, but I don't think you treat them any differently. I think it's just a matter of which ones may be more receptive at which time.
I would also add on to that a person's career path through an organization isn't linear. And I think, you know, we draw the pictures and we have the nice slides that show linear progression through an organization. But in reality, I don't think people always do that. I think they're kind of, they bounce around a little bit within a space. If they like the company, they're going to stick around. They're going to find a way to stay in the company, get more information, get more knowledge. And as they bounce from job to job, they're learning new things. They're being reskilled as they go. So they may have come in with a degree in one thing, be doing something completely different later on. So what difference does that four-year degree make at this point? I could call out certain degrees that probably don't have a lot of value in certain roles, and people are working in businesses all over the country and all over the world that have degrees that have absolutely zero bearing on what they're actually doing today. And there's plenty of them.
No, I would agree. And I think that that's where, again, looking for employees that are really employees that want to learn and really are going to be, and even looking as Jim brought up, our employees that may have been with us for the past, you know, 20 years, we still want to avail learning opportunities to them, because what we're all seeing now is our organizations are changing so often, so quickly, whether it's merger acquisition, whether it's we just decided to go in a different direction here, whether, you know, we have to make a major pivot because of some regulatory issue out there. There are all these changes. And so having the right makeup of employees that are willing to learn, willing to change, work together. I mean, those are some of the things that I hear from hiring managers that they are starting to look at and get and give a lot more weight to than just, great, someone can type Word really, really well. Someone knows how to use Outlook really, really well, or programming language, or certain machines within, say, healthcare, right? Those can be skilled and retrained. So let me ask you guys this, and maybe both of you can and give us an anecdote or story here. But the role that the Sum Total team has played within some of the organizations that have been going on these journeys, that have been making some of the differences and changes to their hiring practices, can you give, you know, a couple of tips and ideas on how Sum Total has worked with those organizations and what the benefits outcomes have been from providing certain trainings and change of attitude and hiring, et cetera? And Jim, maybe we start with you.
We have a very large electronics manufacturer that's on our, that's one of our clients. And I think, you know, what they're seeing a good advantage of is, you know, the modern workforce is changing. And I don't want to bring up the millennial word, but I just did, unfortunately. It's a different type of class of candidate that we've seen, or employee that we've seen probably historically. I mean, these are folks that have grown up with technology left and right. They've never known a day without the internet. They don't even know what a rotary phone is or how to use it. So you have to engage them differently. And I think what Sum Total allows us to do is to engage their employees and their extended audience, maybe their vendors, their partners, outside of a web browser. We give them the ability to put training opportunities in the palm of their hand. So as they're going about the course of their day, we give them the ability to do training opportunities. Maybe as they're doing, they're typing up their work, or they're going out to a different site and doing their job, and they come across a term that they don't need. They can get, you know, what we call learning in the flow of work. They can get access to potential learning opportunities as they need it on demand that's relevant to the topic they're looking for. Yes, we support, obviously, and we support very well the standard compliance-based training. You have to take this X training by a certain date, and you have to renew it. But I think the real value comes to organizations is on top of that, is when we can get and help them both engage their candidates before they've even come on with training opportunities, whether it's learning about the role, learning about the team you're about to join. And then as they onboard, showing them that we're engaging with you, you know, we're giving you the opportunities to further your career, further your skill set, further your value, frankly, to your own organization in easy to consume manner. And I think that's the key thing. Employee engagement is not just do we have the soda, do we have the foosball table, if they still have that, or the, you know, free beer Fridays. It's beyond that nowadays. The value proposition has to be, what kind of experiences are you giving me? How are you enabling me to grow? And from what we've seen from our clients, you know, that the way that we can outreach to their employees and their extended audiences is really where the value is coming from. The fact that we can help them get to people when they need it, at the time of need, and in a variety of different mechanisms and delivery platforms.
just to add on to that, use some specific examples. You know, there's all kinds of things that organizations need to do to make sure their employees have the right sets of skills, whether it's banks that are maybe selling securities that they have to make sure that their people have the right certifications to do that, whether it's insurance companies that have to do the same type of thing to make sure that they can sell Schedule D Medicare insurance. So there's a lot of things that go on within different organizations, and they're using systems like ours to make sure that they're getting the right sets of skills for their employees on a daily basis and on an annual basis. It's also an important thing to note that there's a lot of accredited programs that can be pulled in through third-party aggregators of content that you can walk away with CEUs with and maintain your certifications from wherever you may have gotten them. It's all about making sure that you're keeping your employees up to date with their skill sets, making sure that their certifications don't go out. At the end of the day, doing so helps your business. It doesn't hurt it, because if you have a welder even that goes out of certification, now it becomes a problem. I think there's a lot of opportunity for organizations to pick up skilling and training and managing their employees. And we do all that. So I think soup to nuts, start to finish, we can help bring people on board. We can help train them. We can help grow them. And it's really about making sure that organizations are successful in doing so.
Hey, Rob, let me ask you this. Have you come across teams that reach out to SumTotal and are looking for some type of training, what have you, and you start having a discussion about these mid-skill level jobs, and some people like, I don't really know if we have those or what is that? I guess the idea I'm trying to get at, is there enough of an awareness out there for most organizations to realize that, hey, we do have a lot of these what are called mid-skill level jobs, and maybe we can make this change and we don't have to require that four-year degree? Or is that something that a lot of companies are starting to learn and hear about really for the first time?
That's a great question. I think based on what I've seen, the larger companies, you know, that are out there are starting to see that they can't just focus on people that have 4 year degrees to fill the gaps that they have in their employee rosters. So they really need to kind of think outside the box a little bit and start thinking about people that just have the right skill set. And I think if you look at the success, some of those companies have been doing it for 5 or 6 or 7 years now, and it's consultancies. It's kind of across the board. It doesn't matter the type of company, they just figured it out. I think, you know, in general, larger companies take a longer time to come around to that. I think smaller companies are a little bit more forgiving. So is it a new concept? No, but I think people are starting to get it. And, you know, I think part of that is that the cost of college is becoming a prohibitive. People are making financial decisions, not, I don't want to go to college. It's just so expensive. And there's easier paths and certifications and that sort of thing are sometimes an easier path to get into the workforce more quickly.
And we've brought up the idea of a four-year college degree, but I know plenty of kids that have gone off to college recently. It's not 4 years, my friends. It's five years. It's 6 years. It's impacted. They can't get in there. And then on the flip side, Rob, to what we were just talking about, I've seen, especially in cybersecurity, that's an area where I know a couple of organizations that I work with that have said, you know what, we did drop that degree requirement. We just needed someone who was good at coding and had an investigative type of mindset. And that's what they were looking for. They would train them on what they needed. They could get those individual skills and languages into their hands, no problem. But they needed the inquisitive mindset to really go out there and see how can they defend, you know, in the cybersecurity space. That's one example I can bring to you.
That's a great point, James. I mean, Rob and I were talking previously, just, you know, programmers in general were one of those jobs, arguably 7-10 years ago, where, yeah, you had to have a college degree because that was probably for the most people, the first time they really got exposure to the tool sets, the programming languages. Maybe it's a little bit further than the back, but you know, that's maybe one of those jobs that is one of those legacy requirements, but we're not rethinking. Nowadays, the technology to learn program, the technology to actually get your hands and code something, we have kids in high school creating apps and getting generating revenue for themselves. So it's become almost more accessible, which is probably why you see the larger tech companies nowadays, especially the ones in the Silicon Valley, starting to remove some of the requirements, because they know the youth out there is drawn to that programming, and they can do it. They're almost doing it as a hobby, and they can turn it into a career. And they have the skill set for, like you said, to potentially move into that cybersecurity area. And that was, I wish my son was going into that field. I keep telling him that's the field to go into.
Jim, I've had the same conversation with all three of my kiddos. My youngest one's just in fourth grade, but I do hint towards it. Hey, pay attention when you're doing computers in class, and look what dad does on his computer on a regular basis. And obviously there's more than just computers and technology, but it is one of those things that I do mention out there. Well, guys, I do appreciate the conversation. Folks, hope you enjoyed hearing what we just discussed over the last 20 minutes or so. If you do want to learn more information, Jim and Rob did record a more extensive in-depth webinar. It's called Stuck in the Middle with Corporate America, Training for Middle Skill Jobs. You can find that on demand at www.sumtotalsystems.com/resources. With that, we're going to wrap this chat. On behalf of Jim and Rob and the entire Sum Total team, I'm James Hilliard. Thanks for listening. We do look forward to catching up with you down the road.